We pray. Gracious Lord, we pray at this moment that you would speak a living word to each and every one of us, that you would assure us of your presence, of your love, of your mercy toward us, that you would visit us in such a way that we would feel the assurance of your work on the cross delivered to us. Lord, we also pray that your Holy Spirit would do the work for which you have sent him, to help us understand, to give us the light of your truth, to convict where necessary, to strengthen and assure where necessary. And I pray, Lord, that we may not be distracted by the wicked one, so that we might ingest this living word that you have for each of us this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I look around, I'm guessing most of you have had an opportunity in your life already to think about this. Some of you are approaching this moment where you will one day think about it, but it's that moment where you thought about the ideal life. Most likely you were in high school. Maybe you were in college, but you had that moment where you just thought, what does the future have for me? And you thought things like, well, I believe that I am going to do this for a living, that I'm going to get success in this area, that I'm going to find joy in what I do. You go on and you kind of idealize, you know, I'm going to find this kind of spouse, and it's going to be the perfect spouse, and it's going to be so beautiful that we will probably never have a disagreement in our marriage. And you think, you know, we'll probably have, yeah, I'm positive, we're going to have 3 kids, which increases the chances that I'll like one of them. Right? We think, I might even have this beautiful home, and it's nestled in the mountains of Colorado, and I get to see the beauty of all of God's seasons. I get to walk out in it. I get to see His majesty every single day of my life. I'll find it hard to believe that I can live in a place like this. And then, of course, we'll also have the family golden retriever. And the golden retriever will come to us as a puppy, but he'll come already potty trained. He'll come already following all of my perfect commands. When I tell him to go sit over there, he'll go sit over there. He'll never get in trouble for chewing something he's not supposed to because he's the perfect golden retriever. And when I get up to walk, he'll follow me. He'll be really my best friend outside of my own family. It's the ideal life. It's an image of our future at some point in our life, absent of suffering. It's an image and a hopeful expectation of a life without setbacks, of a life, well, that doesn't even seem to have sin in it, a life that has no adversity. It's an ideal life. And as you get older, you move from thinking and dreaming about an ideal life to maybe an ideal day. And maybe when you get a little bit older, you think, you know, I would just like to have an ideal morning. And I'll give you my ideal morning. I wake up well rested, in a wooden cabin tucked deep in the Vermont woods. I've never been to Vermont, but I see a lot of their pictures on Facebook, and it's beautiful. And I live there, and as the fire crackles in my master bedroom, I get up, I make my way with my golden retriever to the kitchen, I pour a warm cup of coffee, the steam is rising up, everyone else but the golden retriever and I are asleep in the house, and I open the front door and I step out onto this majestic front porch, and I look and immediately see all the beautiful yellows and oranges and reds of autumn. And I see the leaves that God intended to fall right in front of my eyes just slowly make their way down to the ground. And I have my Bible. I sit down. My golden retriever sits right at my feet. I read God's word and I understand it all. And I'm filled with joy and happiness in this life that he has given me. And then I pray, and the prayer is so wonderful, even the Lord Jesus says, wow. That's incredible. I mean, that might be better than the Lord's Prayer I gave the people 2,000 years ago. And then I get up from prayer, and I go and I run on the beautiful trails through the woods with my golden retriever, and I see a black bear because they're in Vermont. Normally this would be mortifying, but this bear, no, he just steps up on his back legs and says, and me and the dog move on. It's an ideal morning. And I stopped at morning because, you know, the rest of the day it's just real life. And real life seems to always splash cold water on the ideal images that you and I have. And when the ideal life is met with the brokenness and the things of the real life, well then, now stress begins to emerge. Anxiety flows from my heart just as that steam did off my coffee. Frustrations begin to be experienced. I begin to see that in certain areas of my life, Lord, I am dissatisfied with where they're at. And this dissatisfaction leads me to cry out certain prayers, to heave from the depths of my lungs of sadness for this thing or that thing that isn't going the way that I had hoped long ago that it would go in my life. And what's behind these prayers, though I can't see it, is actually a thirst, as we heard in the gospel, a thirst and a hunger for righteousness. But I don't see it that way. No, I take this prayer to the Lord and I desperately want for Him to give me a sneak peek into my own future that I might see the outcome. For the marriage that didn't turn out as you had dreamt that it would in high school, or in college, or even on your wedding day, when you thought you would never be in a broken situation before a counselor desperate for help, and yet you're there. And you cry out to the Lord and you say, Lord, please, please give me some sort of vision, some sort of sight to let me know that all the hard work and the pain of counseling and what's required of me, please let me know that it's going to end in reconciliation and joy moving forward. Or maybe it's the illness and you hear the diagnosis and you realize, you know, there's so many paths by which this illness itself could take. Lord, could you give me a sneak peek so that I could see which path do I need to prepare myself, my family, my loved one for. And so we usher up the prayer, and it seems as if the prayer is met with silence. And then we take it a step farther and we say, if it's silence, then this is the Lord saying, no, I will not grant you the sneak peek that you deserve. It might be, Lord, can you just let me know after I've been laid off, how long is this going to go? I'm placing applications, I'm updating my LinkedIn profile, I'm doing all the things, but money's getting tighter and tighter and tighter, and I'm not so sure whether or not we're going to be able to stay in this house that we were once so proud of. Actually, I could maybe even say boastful of. Will we even be able to remain in this place? Lord, can you give me a sneak peek? And the answer is no. Lord, when that thing happened to me when I was young, it made me move forward even to this day feeling shame and as if I'm soiled to the depth of my identity. And Lord, I would like a sneak peek. Will I ever see myself in a way other than this brokenness and tragedy that I have experienced? And it seems like there is no sneak peek. There is only the beckoning of your Lord saying, lean into me. Trust me. Let's not worry about tomorrow because we or you don't know what tomorrow will bring. But in this moment, lean into me and trust me with not only today, but that I will be with you tomorrow. I have promised you that I will walk with you through the valleys, I will be with you on the mountains, and I will go everywhere you go as your Lord, and I will be present for you in more ways than you will even notice on a daily basis. You have to accept that, but you're not going to get the peak that you want. You'll have to face the fact as to whether or not you trust me as the Lord of your life. That you trust that my nature is good. That my nature is gracious. That my nature always desires in the end the best for you. And see, when we're in these moments, this is where faith gets attacked. When you don't get the sneak peek you wanted, you begin to have a disformed view of God's nature. You begin to construct something as if, I serve this God who is aloof. This God who says, I am the good shepherd, I'll lead you beside still waters, and yet you seem to not notice that the water I'm in is raging and I'm halfway under. And then you come to today's reading from Revelation 7. And all of a sudden, you get this sneak peek into your future and my future. You get the sneak peek, not the one you've been asking for in life, but one that is far greater and far bigger than that. One that applies not just to you, but to all who find themselves in Christ Jesus. And it's a sneak peek into that moment when the Lord has come in glory, the resurrection of the dead, and the Apostle John gets to have the curtain or the veil of heaven pushed back so that we, through him, might get a glimpse into the future of those who persevere in the faith. Verse 9, we see behind the curtain. I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice. What am I seeing on that day for my future and yours? I'm seeing the saints of God stand on their own resurrected feet. I'm seeing the saints of God with their own resurrected hands hold things, and probably, if it's anything to do with me, you'll get to hug people in heaven. And most of you need, like myself, a resurrected voice, that your singing might be pleasing in the ears of your pewmates. You'll experience this in the flesh, with your own feet, with your own hands, with your own voice, bearing your own baptismal name. And all on that day will be well. Actually, the Lord's love is so incredible and His grace so abundant. Part of those gathered around the throne may be who on earth was your ex. Maybe the one who died far too early for their time. The moment you wanted the sneak peek and you didn't get it, and now you see it, we're all here because of the same Lord. Which leads us to verse 13. Then one of the elders addressed me. Now, I'm going on record. I know we have somebody much wiser than me, Dr. Abraham Philip, but I'm going to go with the fact that this is Peter, is the elder, and my reason is because he's asking a question and then doesn't really let the person answer it. He answers it himself to prove that he's right. I have absolutely no theological or exegetical weight for that conclusion, by the way. And so the elder asks John, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" John, knowing Peter, said, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Who are these people? They're people like you and people like me. They're people who came into churches and sanctuaries like this and heard over and over again, "Your sins are forgiven." They're people who came into churches like this and saw the water of baptism splash over their child and God say, "This child is adopted into my family." They've been washed in the blood of the Lamb in baptism. Who are they? They are those who come to this railing and will bend their knee and receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin, standing up, having their robes washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, looking forward with great anticipation to the future that is theirs and ours and mine as a result of the cross of Jesus Christ. I begin now to see the world different. I begin to look into my future through the wounds of my Savior as He hung on the cross. I begin to look into my future for the hope of an empty tomb. I look into my future through that cross and empty tomb, knowing soul and body will be joined together on that day. And I and they and you will be resurrected. And in the Lord's infinite wisdom, he seems to believe this is enough for you and for me, and that this is big enough to almost act as a magnet that pulls us through the rest of our lives as we make our way to this promise. He's told you today, this is how it turns out. We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we know that we don't get all the answers that our hearts desire in this life, but we know we get every answer that we need to endure this life. Lord, today we celebrate those saints who at least have one foot in your kingdom, and they too, like us, are anxiously awaiting the resurrection of the dead, when we will have a great reunion, when we will be before the throne of the Heavenly Father and the Lamb, Jesus Christ, will be in our midst, still bearing the wounds of our redemption, still showing the constancy of his love for us through this life and through our own sin. And we will be greeted happily, joyfully, enduringly. Lord, let this be the hope, not just of us today, but let the world realize this is the hope of all nations, all peoples, and all languages. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.